Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Tonight, get your Bibles on. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter number 3. While you're turning there, the title of tonight's message is The Voice of Conscience. You know, we're told that there are many voices in the world, and that none are without significance. There's a lot of things that we hear, a lot of things that are coming at us on a daily basis. In fact, I remember at a young age, I was made very aware of the fact that there was always advertising coming at me. You know, my dad pointed out one time in the grocery store that those little things in between where you put your groceries and then you want to separate the divider from the next person's groceries, you know, they're starting to put ads on those things. It's just amazing to me that we need an advertisement to separate our groceries. Like, you need to buy more stuff. You forgot about this. You should probably go and put all the stuff back in your basket, go back out into the store and go buy this product. But we're constantly having voices come into our lives. And I believe even more so in our day and age of cell phones and connectivity and all the things that we have accessible to us now. I mean, you never have to wonder where anybody went on their vacation. You never have to ask to see pictures. You've already seen them. You already know all of the intimate details. In fact, you know what they had for lunch. You know that they had the avocado toast, but they, you know, made sure that they didn't put any onions on it because that gives them a little bit of gas. And so, you know, they wanted to go out and have fun on their vacation and not be in the hotel room because of problems. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 13 through verse number 31. With that in mind, talking about the voices, the things that are coming at us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 starts out in this. It says, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good?" Everybody say, followers of what is good. "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." Notice he says that you can suffer, and it's okay if you're suffering for righteousness' sake. What does that mean? That means that if you're doing what's right, and you're doing what is right in God's eyes, and somebody comes after you, harms you, persecutes you, that's okay. You can go through it, because it's commendable in the sight of God. That's something that Jesus did. That's something that the prophets did. That's something that the apostles did. And when you do it, you're in good company. Verse number 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Everybody say, in your hearts. Sanctify means to set apart, to set aside, to make holy, to say, this is special, this is exclusive, this is something that I'm going to do, that I'm going to set apart the Lord. I'm going to set aside that special place for God. I'm going to make a holy place. This is going to be something that's exclusive just for me and God. Where? In your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Most of the time when we read that verse, we focus on the part about being ready to give an answer to somebody for the hope that we have. It's a great apologetics verse, and I believe that we should be ready that if anybody says, "Hey, why are you a Christian?" we should be able to say, "Well, because I believe that God is the creator of everything." We wouldn't be here if there wasn't some sort of creator. All this didn't just happen. Nothing can't produce something that's been proven. That's a law in science. And yet to go on a theory that something came out of nothing goes against the laws of science. So why would I ever believe that? That means there has to be a creator. And therefore, if there's a creator, there has to be a purpose for the creation. And don't you think a creator would want to make that purpose known? That's where we find out that God spoke in various times in the past through the prophets, through the apostles. And in these last days, he spoken to us by his son, Jesus Christ. See, if I wanted to talk to a dog, I couldn't talk to a dog unless I became a dog and could relate on a dog's level, right? And so God, being holy, being awesome, being the creator, knew that we had a problem. And therefore, in order to speak our language and come and speak to us in our terms, he had to come in the form of his son. He had to come and a physical body was prepared. And that's why Jesus came. And Jesus, we know, went to the cross. Why? To pay the price for all of our sins. And now, anyone who believes on his sacrifice, now they can be forgiven, they can be free, they don't have to go to hell, they can go to heaven. I believe the word of God. We can give an answer for the hope that we have. But remember, we're not talking about apologetics tonight. We're talking about the voices that come into our lives. And so he says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready to give the answer with meekness and fear. Verse 16, look at this. Having a good conscience. Everybody say, a good conscience. That when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Tonight, remember, we're talking about the voice of conscience. Now, sometimes we get a little confused, and I know that got confused. Because when I was starting to study this out, when I heard what God wanted me to study on today, I started to think about spelling this out. Now, I love spell check because it helps me a lot. I also love Siri. Siri is my girl. Anybody know my girl Siri? All right. Maybe you've got Alexa. I don't know her that well. All right. Maybe you have some other assistant or somebody that you can speak to, you know, hey, Google or something like that. But I like my girl Siri. And when I talked to my girl Siri, I said to Siri, I said definition of conscious. Now, she got a little confused, as Siri can do sometimes. And I don't blame her for it because I get confused too. There's a difference between being conscious and having a conscience. You see where the confusion can come in, right? Some of you guys are laughing because you said, oh, Pastor, I thought you were talking about being conscious when really we're talking about having a good conscience. There is a difference. Being conscious means being aware. It means that you're aware of your surroundings. I'm conscious of the fact that there's a bunch of people in the house tonight. I'm conscious of the fact that there are lights coming in my face, right? I'm conscious of the fact that I got to keep the microphone up here so that you guys can hear me, because if I let it drop down here, you're not going to hear me that well, right? I'm conscious of all those things. I'm aware of what's going on right now. When you all get up to go to the bathroom, I watch and I wait for you to come back in. I preach a little harder too so that you're not tempted to go out to the parking lot, you know, and say, that's it, I'm out, you know? But I'm conscious, I'm aware of those things. But I also have a conscience, hello, that speaks to me. There is a voice of a conscience. And I see in the Word that there is a good conscience. That's good, isn't it? Good is good. See, because conscience is the voice of the Spirit. Now, some of you guys, I got to break this down a little bit. Because every person, every man, woman, and child on the planet is a three-part being. You are a spirit that lives in a body and has a soul. We are all three-part beings, okay? You are a spirit. That's the real you. That's the you that if your body dies, that's the part that lives on. That's the real you. You are a spirit. But you live in a body. This earth suit, this tent, the Bible calls it, that you've been given, is a temporary dwelling place for you to live in until you go and you get your resurrection body. And you have a soul. What is a soul? It's your mind. It's your will. It's your emotions. Okay? It's your thought processes and the things that go on. That is your soul realm. That's the three parts of man: body, soul, and spirit. Body is the easiest to identify because in the natural, you can see it. You can touch it. You can smell it. You can hear it when we talk, right? Clap our hands, right? You can hear it. You can even taste it. Now, you don't want to go around doing that, though, okay? Smelling might be a little weird, too. But that's the easiest to identify. The mind is a little bit easier to identify than the spirit, though, right? Because we know our thoughts. We can identify what we're thinking about. We can identify when we're daydreaming. We can identify what we want, our desires, our passions, even our lusts, right? All that stuff goes on in the soul realm. But the spirit is the hardest part to identify. And that's where we're going to see in the Word of God tonight how to identify the voice of the Spirit. Now, maybe you've been a connoisseur of cartoons growing up, or, you know, if you've seen any sort of comics or anything like that, you've seen illustrations of this. And oftentimes people view the conscience as a little angel on one shoulder and a little demon on the other shoulder, whether it was Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, or whoever it may be, right? Even Mickey Mouse had him. All these guys. And what happens is one of them is telling him something good to do, and one of them is telling something evil to do, right? And oftentimes, that's a picture of the conscience. In fact, most of the time, it's usually them dressed up as those things, right? It's Mickey with horns and a tail and a little pitchfork, and then on the other side, it's Mickey with angel wings and a little halo over his head. But see, that's not really what we're talking about, because your conscience, before you were born again, before you were redeemed, was still the voice of your spirit. You still had a conscience before you ever gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ. In fact, if you want to do a study of this in the book of Romans, it talks about our conscience in chapter 1, chapter 2, especially chapter 2, where it starts talking about that your conscience will either condemn you or will approve you. And in the natural, before you were born again, your spirit man would talk to you, and there were certain things that were acceptable behaviors and certain things that were not acceptable behaviors. Now, let me give you an example of this. Growing up, I got saved. I was born again at age 15, all right? As a 15-year-old boy in the public school system of California, I cussed like a sailor, all right? That was just the language of the day. And so, you know, in order to communicate, it was all the different swear words that we could think of, and whoever could swear the best, you know, was usually the coolest person on campus. And so we practiced at it. It was an art form. You know, we were linguistic cussers, if you will, right? And we had this perfected. We could tear people apart with our words. We could, you know, defame somebody. We could make somebody look foolish, or we could just throw stuff out just for shock value, right? But at age 15, I gave my heart and life to Jesus. I was born again, brand new. And I realized when I started hanging out with people and they cussed, all of a sudden there was a voice inside of me that said, that's not cool. That's not something you're going to do any longer. And when I would be talking, man, immediately my mouth was cleaned up. And if I would try, if I would even think about it, it was like, no, that's not for you. And I realized something, that before I was born again, my conscience allowed for me to speak any way that I wanted to speak. But when I was born again now, I had a conscience that no longer allowed me to speak. See, there was a voice on the inside that said, that's not for you. That's not something that you want to do. Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe before you got saved, there were certain behaviors, certain attitudes, certain actions, certain movies that you would watch or things that you would get involved in that were perfectly acceptable. But all of a sudden, after you got saved, all of a sudden you were miserable in those things, or your conscience wouldn't allow you to do those things any longer. Why? Because now you are born again. See, your spirit man is the part that's recreated, is a new creation in Christ Jesus. That old man is dead. That old man is the spirit you, right? That old man who was dead in sin and transgression now has been born again. See, you didn't physically climb up into your mother's womb and come back out, right? Physically, that's impossible. Not going to happen. Even Nicodemus told Jesus, how can this be, right? And yet Jesus said, what's born of the flesh is flesh, but what's born of the spirit is spirit. John, the third chapter. And so it's your spirit man, the real you, the you on the inside of you that if you die, that will live on. That's the real you that is born again. And now that man has a voice. That spirit man, that spirit being on the inside of you has a voice. Now, okay, conscience is the voice of the spirit. That means it's also the place where God's spirit will speak to you. This is very important. You got to get a hold of this. If your conscience is the voice of your spirit, then that is also the place that God is going to speak to you. I've had to train my kids in this because oftentimes growing up, you know, sometimes people are just different, right? People are just special. My wife, she's like, God said this, and God said that, and God was telling me about this. And it's almost like, well, you guys have been hanging out just talking a whole lot. God didn't say nothing to me today, you know? And some of us feel bad because we feel like when we hear someone saying that, it's almost like, well, why didn't God talk to me? In fact, and then all of a sudden the devil starts messing with you. Well, God has never spoken to you. You've never heard his voice, right? And all of a sudden you get under guilt and condemnation. And then the next step after that is, well, are you even really saved, right? You know, and all of a sudden you're crying, wondering why you're going to hell and God hates you. And nothing could be further from the truth. God has spoken to you, but God has spoken to you a different way. Or maybe they've just tuned their hearts to hear the voice of the Spirit and recognize that that's God over time. See, I know that God has spoken to me, but I have never heard an audible voice. There have been times where on the inside of me, there's been a shout on the inside of me that I know that God spoke that to me. But most of the time, listen, you got to get a hold of this. Most of the time when God speaks to me, it's just a still small voice on the inside of my heart. And it sounds a whole lot like the voice of my conscience. Why? Because God is spirit. And when God speaks to me, he's not speaking to the natural physical me. He's not speaking to the soul realm. He's speaking, because he's a spirit, he's speaking spiritual things to a spiritual man. And therefore, God is connecting and relating to me, and therefore, his voice will sound like the voice of my conscience. Are you guys with me? You guys understand? Hopefully, this is going to help you to hear the voice of God, okay? God is spirit and will speak to your spirit. Let's take a look at this in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 27. Turn there with me. Proverbs chapter number 20. In the Old Testament now, right after the Psalms, you'll find the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 20. And verse number 27, look at what it says. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Now, I want you to know something. When we gave our hearts and lives to Jesus, where did Jesus come to live? In our hearts, right? The Spirit of Christ has been imparted to us. We now have the Spirit of God, and he comes and lives in our hearts. Again, not a physical heart. He's not sitting inside of the beating blood and all that kind of stuff. It's a spiritual place where he lives. The heart is where your soul and your spirit link up. That's the seat of your heart. That's the place where God lives and resides. It's the innermost part of you in your spirit. It is your heart, okay? So the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. That means that the spirit of man, the Bible says, is a lamp for God to show things going on the inside of you. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. He illuminates it. He uses it to light up places. That's why you are the light of the world. It's your spirit man that shines. It's your spirit man that illuminates. It's your spirit man that as you read the word of God, as you hear God's voice, as you pray and you communicate with God, right? And communication is two-way, not just you talking to God, but God speaking back to you. It's in the spirit man that you're going to get that illumination. That's the place where you're going to get that light. And Jesus said, my word is life and my word is light. See, many people come to me and said that they've never heard God's voice because they haven't heard him physically or they haven't had that shout in their minds. But God's not going to speak to either of those. He may if he wants to, and oftentimes you can see in the word of God where he did. But most of the time, check it out, it just says God spoke to them. It didn't say audibly. There are times where it says they heard a loud voice. But most of the time, it just says God spoke to them, right? Interestingly enough, when we hear these stories about Abraham, about Joshua, about Moses, you know, all these guys, could it be that they weren't hearing an audible voice, but that they were just listening to the voice of the Spirit speaking to them from their hearts? See, God will speak to our spirit through the voice of our conscience. Let me show this to you again. Romans chapter number 9, verse number 1. Now in the New Testament, Romans chapter number 9 and verse number 1. Everybody okay tonight? Still going good? All right, cool. I feel like a waiter right now. Are you guys still good? Can I get you anything? Fill up your water. Romans chapter number 9, verse number 1. I love Bible study. I love just breaking open the Word of God. Romans chapter number 9, verse number 1. This is healthy, by the way. This is good food. That's why I'm your waiter tonight. I'm serving up a gourmet meal. Romans chapter number 9, verse number 1. I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness, where? In the Holy Spirit. Notice these two are hanging out together. His conscience and the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every matter be established. That means if you're wanting direction, if you're wanting to know what to do in life, if you're seeking to find how you should go about something, then get quiet and start to listen to the voice of the Spirit. And your spirit and the Holy Spirit will come in agreement. Two voices coming together will come and bear witness together. This is the way, walk in it. See, these two voices are on the inside of you. You have the voice of your conscience and you have the voice of the Spirit. You have to learn to trust the voice of the Spirit speaking through your conscience and obey his voice. And I would add instantly obey his voice. Because if you know that you know that you know that God is speaking, then why wait? I heard someone once say slow obedience is no obedience. Hello? See, God wants us to get so in tune with the voice of his Spirit that he can tell us at any moment, hey, here's what I need you to do. Hey, go and talk to that person. Hey, I want you to go invest here. Hey, I want you to go and just hug on your kids. Hey, I want you to go love on your husband or your wife. Hey, I need you to go over here and I need you to tell someone about Jesus. See, God wants to move in your life. The Holy Spirit, his job description is pretty amazing. But you know that most of the Holy Spirit's job description is teaching us, showing us things to come. Most of it is communication with the believer. Guiding us into all truth, reminding the believer of the things that he's spoken. Look it up in John chapter 14, chapter 15. You'll find the Holy Spirit's job description. It's in the Word, and most of it is just talking to the saints. And you're going to hear that in the voice of your conscience. Another verse for us, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12. See, we got to understand and know whether it's God speaking or whether it's really just our own carnal desires. Do you know your flesh has a voice too, right? If there's one slice of cake left in the fridge in the middle of the night, your flesh will start speaking to you. You're laughing because you heard that voice, right? You ever had money burning in your pocket? What's it saying? Spend, 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 right? You need, you need, you need, you need, you want, you want, you want, you want. Go get it. Treat yourself. Some pretty little thing walks by, gentlemen. Your flesh will speak. Ladies, some handsome hunk of a man goes by. Your flesh will speak, right? So how do we know if it's our voice or the voice of the Spirit? Here's how. You got to line it up with the Word of God. The Spirit will not contradict the Word of God. And when I say the Word of God, I'm talking about the written Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. If you want to know if it's your flesh, if that's just me, or if it's a good conscience of the Holy Spirit speaking to me, here's how. Line it up with the Word. If it doesn't line up, throw it out. I think God is calling me to that woman. Well, she's married. That's not God. Bible says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Right? That's not God. Throw it out. The Spirit told me it's okay to cheat on my taxes. No, he did not. Jesus said, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's and to God that which is God. Well, God told me it's okay not to tithe. God told me it's okay. I don't have to give anything. No, Bible says be generous. Bible says lay aside a certain portion as you may prosper. See, line it up with the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, did you guys turn there? I didn't forget about it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. You ought to underline this scripture. You ought to put a star next to it. If you got a highlighter pen, you ought to highlight it. You ought to write it down so that you can remember it. You ought to dog ear the page so you can get back to this. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit. That's important for us to note. Because if you want to know how to discern between your thoughts that are just going on in your mind and the spirit and your conscience, this is how. The Word of God, which is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, discerning the thoughts. Look at what it goes on to say. And the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Remember, the soul and the spirit, the seat of that is your heart. That's where your spirit lives. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. Now, the soul and the flesh, when they get together, there is a voice that comes out of that. And if you want to discern between that voice and the voice of your soul and your spirit speaking through your conscience, it's the Word of God, sharper than any double-edged sword. And it can discern between bone and marrow. How many of you know that is kind of hard to determine, right? Any doctors in the house can say amen to that? No doctors in the house tonight. All right, I needed Mr. Kanga, but he's out tonight. That's all good. But it's hard to determine. Think about that. And maybe you can go back to your anatomy class or, you know, your science class, biology, something like that. Bone and marrow, to us, is just bone, right? You open it up, still bone. But there is a difference. There's something that's going on. There's actually movement on the inside of your bones, and your bones renew after a certain period of time. In the same way, soul and spirit, sometimes we think, man, there's no difference. Why would God say that's three parts? It's really just two. But it's not. And it's the Word of God that will determine between the difference. Heard about a Bible college student who was very legalistic, and he wouldn't do anything unless he had a verse on it, right? Once he had a verse, he would go for it. And so, you know, he had read in the Word of God that it was good, not good for man to be alone. And so he had a verse that he could go out and start looking for a wife. And so he started dating a certain girl. And, you know, she was also a Bible college student. And he figured it's not good to be unequally yoked. And so she was a Christian. He's a Christian. They're both in Bible college together, you know. And so he starts dating this girl. And every night when he would drop her off at the dorms, he'd want to give her a kiss goodnight. But he never could because he never had a word. You know, he never had a scripture on it. And so he was seeking and he was seeking and he was trying to find a scripture. And finally, he found one that he thought would work. Greet the brethren with a holy kiss. But just to be sure, he went to one of his instructors and he said, hey, what do you think about this? I'd like to give her a kiss goodnight when we leave, or maybe I can kiss her hello because it says to greet, you know, and so maybe I can give her a kiss. And the instructor says, I can see that, but you know what, really, this is talking about Christian fellowship. It's not talking about dating relationships. You know, you need to be pure, you need to be chaste. And so he is kind of disappointed, and so he left, and you know, he went and had another date with his girlfriend, and as they were getting ready to drop her off, oh man, he really wanted to kiss her. And he was getting ready to say, I gotta go, I'm gonna leave, when all of a sudden she just planted one on him. She kissed him long, she kissed him hard, I mean just Finally, when she stopped kissing him, he came up for air and he said, Scripture, Scripture! And she said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a good verse. I think I'm going to use that on Pastor Jess tonight. Praise the Lord. See, you have a conscience. You have a voice that will speak to you. But it's when we disobey that voice or when we willfully ignore that voice that we get into trouble. See, the Spirit will speak to you through the voice of your conscience. And if you say, nah, I'm not doing that. I'm not going that direction. It's not going to be good for you. I was reading in some of the news articles online, and there was a lady, this is crazy to me, but there was a lady who is a 67-year-old woman from Belgium. She ended up driving to Croatia through three different countries in the wrong direction to get to a train station, get this, in Belgium. See the map? See how there's that little red circle up on the top there, okay? There's an A and a B there. That is a distance of about 90 miles. Should take maybe, let's say, 2 hours with traffic, right? 90 miles, hour and a half at 65, okay, right? So let's say about 2 hours. So a trip that should have taken a couple of hours, see the blue line going across Germany, going across Austria, going through Slovenia, and then finally landing in Croatia. That was her two-day trip that she ended up going on. She said that she got distracted, and she had just plugged in to her GPS some coordinates that she thought was the train station and just blindly followed that voice for 2 days, stopping twice to get gas, stopping overnight to sleep, and even getting into a minor car accident on the way. It wasn't until she finally realized that she had been passing signs in French and then German, and then finally in Croatian, that she woke up and realized, I'm in the wrong place. All because she got distracted. But guys, can I tell you something? What would cause her to go all that way? The reason why is because she trusted the voice of a GPS system that was taking her in the wrong direction. And she just blindly followed it, saying that she was distracted. Now, I don't know what was distracting her, but I do know she was following the wrong voice. And this is the point for all of us. The wrong voice will take you in the wrong direction, right? If we're listening to the voice of the Spirit, it will take us in the right direction. But if we're listening to the voice of the flesh, it will take us in the wrong direction. Titus chapter number 1, verse number 15. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. Notice that they are listening to the wrong spirits. People will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines, teachings of demons. Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. See, all of us have a choice to follow God's voice and to follow his direction or to follow the flesh. And if we reject the directions of God, if we reject the word of God and a good conscience, then we will end up following doctrines of demons. Because the Bible says that the flesh, those earthly things, are sensual and that they are demonic in the book of James. You will end up listening to the wrong GPS, and a couple hours will turn into a couple of days before you look up and realize, I'm in the wrong spot. Sin will always take you longer than you want to go. It will take you farther than you want to go, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. See, we need to understand that we need to train our hearts to listen to the voice of the conscience. I heard the story of a telegraph office who had put an ad out in a newspaper for a new telegraph operator. And so there was a bunch of men that gathered in the office, and they were all waiting to be brought in and interviewed. And after a moment without anybody saying anything, one of the young men stood up and walked into the office. Now, the other guys that were waiting out in the foyer were just kind of like, whoa, what's that guy doing? No one said anything, and why'd he just walk in there? That's a little weird. After a while, a sharply dressed man in a suit came out, and he said, gentlemen, thanks for coming and applying today. We've filled the position. And they were all shocked. And they thought, well, wait a second, we haven't even been interviewed. You haven't even talked to us. What's going on? And the man said, well, a moment ago, in Morse code, I tapped out, if you can understand this message, stand up, walk into the room, you've got the job. And only one applicant came in. He said, the rest of you don't know Morse code, therefore, we can't use you. You can be dismissed. See, God is speaking to us in a voice. God has a language for us. God has something that he's saying to us. But if we don't train ourselves to know the voice of God from the word of God and from the voice of our conscience, then we're going to miss out on the directions, and we're going to miss out on the life that God has for us. Is anybody listening tonight? I had another scripture, but I'm not going to go there. God is good. You guys can do a study on your conscience and just take a look at all the verses in the Bible and get a hold of this for yourselves. Can we pray together tonight? Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have sprinkled our hearts, God, and that you've cleansed our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And because of that, God, now, God, we choose to train ourselves to hear your voice and to follow you, God. I pray, Lord, that right now, that you would speak to souls, God, that you'd speak on that inner part, speak to our spirit, Lord God, speak in that deep place, the hidden man of the heart. And right now, God, I thank you, Lord, that you're dropping words into people's hearts, God, dropping scriptures, God, you're giving direction, you're imparting wisdom, Lord. We receive in Jesus' name right now. Would you just take a moment, quiet your soul, and just listen for the voice of God. Just take a moment in the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. If God spoke to you, I think it's important enough to remember it. So if you want, just take out a little note, write it down, or tap it out on your phone or your smart device. Maybe you got a pen and a leaf of your Bible and you want to write something down. Just take a moment if God spoke to you. Commit it to memory. Commit it to a note. Maybe you're here with a faithful friend or a spouse. You just want to share that with them. Go ahead right now. Just maybe show them the note or whisper in their ear what God spoke to you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we receive your word. Help us, Lord, to train our hearts to hear you more clearly and to follow you, God. Thank you for a good conscience that will lead us in the places you want us to go, in Jesus' name. So I want to take a couple more minutes of your time, then we'll let you go. I want to make sure before we leave this place that your heart's right with God, that if you died, you'd
thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.